If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the podcast, we have an interview with Gina Kirschenheiter from The Real Housewives of Orange County. It's been a lighter summer of interviews for sure on the show, just because of scheduling, vacations, the shows that have been on Bravo this summer, availability, all of that. But we're back with a couple interviews this week and next week. Today is an interview with Gina for a chat, which was pegged to her partnership with Clorox. But we got to talk a lot about this season of Real Housewives of Orange County, so don't you worry. She does have a cute new commercial with Dr. Nicole from The Real Housewives of Miami, though, for Clorox. So we love to see a housewife getting her check, so go Gina. Before we get to that interview, though, I do want to discuss a big development that we have in one of Bravo and Andy Cohen's biggest scandals from this year. So the network and Andy have obviously had like this huge spate of allegations lodged against them, including several lawsuits, many of which are from former housewives like Leah McSweeney, Caroline Manzo, and Brandi Glanville, the latter two of which stem in different ways from the cursed fourth season of Ultimate Girls Trip, which obviously filmed in Morocco and, you know, might never see the light of day given all the controversy that has stemmed from it. At this point, though, I actually think that one could argue that releasing it would be ratings gold. Honestly, like people would tune in for that, like especially if at some point everything's, you know, cleared or dismissed or disregarded or whatever. Once that, like, the dust settles, like, I think a lot of people will tune in for that. I'm just saying. But for now, it's not over. I think Caroline Manzo's lawsuit is still ongoing. But on the Brandi side of things, that's where the big update is. She has yet to file any actual legal paperwork in her accusation that she was sexually harassed by Andy Cohen. But she is doubling down on those claims, which she first made back in February, because this week she released a bunch of receipts. She released the infamous video that she's alluded to, and she did an exclusive interview with the British tabloid The Sun, and she sees all of these receipts as sort of the evidence of the claims that she's made against Andy Cohen. Again, she has not filed any legal paperwork pertaining to these accusations, but she is expressing her wish in this interview with The Sun that she wants to sue him for sexual harassment based on this evidence. And last thing I'll say before we get into the evidence that she provided, an outside investigation also cleared Andy Cohen of any wrongdoing pertaining to this situation back in May. So as far as his, you know, place at Bravo and the network like is concerned, that to me is very steadfast and it's not going to change based on what Brandi provided this week, but it is a big update, so I think it's worth getting into. It kind of went viral in the Bravo social media world in the past couple of days, so I'm going to get into all of sort of what Brandi provided, what she said to The Sun, and what my thoughts are on it. So let's get into all this evidence. The Sun is a British tabloid, and its headline for this whole exclusive was you know, predictably sensationalized. It says, brazen behavior. Brandi Glanville claims Andy Cohen treated her like, quote, his little sex worker and pushed her to hook up with Bravo star. The subhead is, in emails exclusively obtained by The Sun, Andy tells Brandi, quote, I really wanted you to hook up with my stage manager. So the emails and texts that Brandi provided to The Sun in this exclusive, they span over a decade, the oldest of which were from, I think, 2013, and they were from his NBCU email address, meaning he was still like officially working there, not just talent at the network. And the newest are texts that he allegedly sent to her during BravoCon 2022, which was the second one in New York and the second BravoCon. So the ones that he sent during BravoCon sort of like have been focused on a little bit more. He texts her allegedly, kind of hoping you and my stage manager hooked up. I really wanted you and Austin to get together. He had his eyes on you. And that's meaning Austin Kroll from Southern Charm. And then this is her talking about these texts with The Sun. At BravoCon, Andy texted me saying that he wanted me to hook up with a stage manager. And I almost felt like, do I have to do this? He was saying, I want you, my employee, to fuck another one of my employees. And then also, by the way, I think you should fuck Austin. He has eyes for you. Your boss should never talk to you that way, she says. We are not friends. We do not hang out outside of work ever. And we were at a work event, she said. I felt this tremendous amount of pressure to please him, but that was too far. I'm not going to go and sleep with someone. He literally thought I would do it. That's the disgusting part. And as my boss, telling him I need to sleep with another employee that he employs, he's got problems. So it should be said here, this is me speaking, that Andy is and was not Brandi's boss at the time. Per Page Six and their article based on this evidence, he is considered talent at the network and he hasn't been an executive there in a decade. Yes, he is an executive producer of Real Housewives, but he does not have hiring or firing power. This is Page Six talking. A source says that Cohen, along with other executive producers, gives his opinion on who should be cast for the upcoming seasons, but ultimately the network decides who will star on the shows. He's not our boss, the source reiterates. So back to Brandi. She told The Sun, quote, he really is like pimping me out. I mean, it felt that way. Like, what am I supposed to go and hook up with these guys and tell you about how the sex is because you told me to? That is a different kind of boss. That is a pimp. I'm not a hooker. You are not my pimp. And I feel like he is even just suggesting that to me. He has some issues that he needs to resolve. Who the fuck does he think he is? Does he think he's God? Does he think I'm going to run off and spread my legs because he told me to? I think he thinks that I would. I would never do that. And I think he thinks I would. Otherwise, why would he say that to me? Why would he text that to me? It's very brazen. I don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to because I need a job. And that is abuse of power. It just is. I feel like a fucking prostitute in a weird way. So you get the idea what she thinks about all of this and kind of how she is presenting it to the public. You know, I just feel like we know Brandi Glanville from these shows, right? Like, we know how she is. We know that she uses really sensationalized language and really, like, intense language around things to get reactions. And, I mean, based on that quote that I just read you, I think that that's kind of what we're working with here. But I wanted to bring up all her other claims. So she also mentioned a moment from January of 2013. This is the earliest one that she brings up, the email that I alluded to earlier from Andy's NBCU email, allegedly. So in January 2013, she was on Watch What Happens Live, and Andy asked her on air how sex with her ex, Eddie Chibrian, was. He asked her how he was in bed. She said that he was a 9 out of 10, but then either the next day or when she left, she got an email from Andy allegedly saying, get home safe. He was a 9, and 9 is in all caps. And then she interpreted that to be alluding to his penis size, which I guess that's completely up for interpretation. There's no indication that the meaning of the word 9 changed. You know, he obviously placed emphasis on the word 9, but that just could be like him being like, whoa, he's a 9. Or I guess he could be implying that he was a 9, meaning his size, but she's jumping to a big conclusion here. So she says, being on television is one thing, but then the next day he starts emailing me to get more information about my ex-husband's penis. And this is private. This is not for public consumption anymore, which is true. This isn't like the joke that he was supposedly making. I don't even think it's funny. It's not a joke. That's just weird. But to follow up and ask more questions, I just, in that moment, I knew I had to put up with it. I knew that this was going to be our relationship. I've been dealing with very sexually explicit texts and emails for over a decade, and none of them were jokes. None of them were jokes. I'll get to that later, but remember that she said that. another text exchange from July of 2022. Andy says to her, "By the way, next time I see you, I want to hear all the sex stuff you've heard about me." And then this is what Brandy said to the son about that. "I feel like Andy created the character that he wanted me to be, and I became that character because I need to work. It's the only job I've had since I was married, and my husband took care of me, so I don't have a skill set." That is kind of like what Leah McSweeney has been saying in a lot of her stuff, which is like, you know, she was basically forced to do all this stuff. And Brandy and Leah sort of imply that Andy had this hold over them and that they were forced to do a lot of this stuff. And ultimately, like, yeah, they were employed by the network and the production companies, but it was at will. You know, they could have dropped out at any time. You know, obviously they wanted to remain employed. And I don't know, like, nobody's forcing you to be a Real Housewife. Nobody's forcing you to not step away. And for her to say that, like, Annie created this character and she felt like she had no other choice but to play it and she has no other skill set and her husband took care of her, like, it just feels like the framing of it is very skewed. So the last part of this is that Brandy released the video from 2022 that Andy had sent her when he was with Kate Chastain. And it's pretty clear from the video that they were, like, probably inebriated. And we've heard about this video before. But in the video, we see Andy and Kate doing a selfie video they sent to Brandy. And he says, "We're fucking tonight and we're going to talk about you the whole time." So it's kind of like a threesome. "Actually, if you're around in like 90 minutes or 2 hours, do you want to watch us on FaceTime?" Obviously, not a great video for him to be sending to anybody at the network, honestly. Like, that's kind of objectively speaking, I think. We'll get into the dynamic that he has with the talent in a little bit. But you should know that Andy did respond to the video that Brandy had brought up back in January when she first made her claims. He said, "The video shows Kate Chastain and I very clearly joking to Brandy. It was absolutely meant in jest, and Brandy's response clearly communicated that she was in on the joke. That said, it was totally inappropriate and I apologize." So Andy's apologized for this video. He admitted that it was inappropriate. He admitted that I crossed a line. And I would say that, like, actually, I think the video is, like, kind of the worst part of all of this, especially because, and let's get into sort of the, like, my thoughts on this, is, like, I feel like a lot of this evidence, a lot of these exchanges remain very much in line with how Andy is on camera, on Watch What Happens Live. You know, Andy has been on TV for over 15 years, and all of this stuff remains in line with that character and the persona that he has created in that time. Like, it's pretty clear that in all these instances, he's joking, he's being saucy, he's pushing the envelope, he's you know, pushing the boundary and eggs people on. And, you know, he asks questions like that on camera all the time. How many times have we seen him ask guests on Watch What Happens Live if they would hook up with XYZ person, if they have hooked up with XYZ person, if they're interested in XYZ other person on Bravo? He likes to play matchmaker. And yeah, like, can it feel a little awkward or weird that he's doing it? Or should he be doing it privately like that? It can be argued that he shouldn't be. But I just don't think this is anything completely out of the ordinary for him and what we've seen from him. And again, it's entirely possible and legitimate that these kinds of exchanges and comments made Brandy uncomfortable. There's a lot of validity in that, and I'm not trying to take that away from her. But it just feels like, I don't know, it feels like reading these exchanges is between two friends corresponding with one another. That's how they feel when you read these back and forths. Like, they're gossipy and saucy, sure. And again, you can argue that they cross a line, but I just feel like you have to jump to a lot of conclusions and kind of willfully ignore the fact that they're in kind of joking manners to find a huge, huge problem in this and think that they merit some other big punishment for Andy. I really do think that. And again, the jokes were inappropriate for sure. And it's inappropriate for him in his position to be texting with somebody like that who has been talent on the network. But, you know, Brandy played along per the screenshots that she provided, which, again, let's just say that these comments did make her uncomfortable and she was playing along to please who she says was her boss. Again, this is no different from how he was on camera. So her interpretation of these things to be like he was completely serious. I was his little sex worker. He was my pimp. He wanted me to fuck Austin Kroll for his enjoyment. Like, that just feels like the ultimate bad faith reading of all of these correspondences years later. And it feels a little bit willfully ignorant to fit her narrative a little bit. I don't know. That's just how I take all this. I just don't think that these screenshots represent the smoking gun that she thinks they do. And there has to be a reason why she hasn't actually filed a lawsuit and she's continuing to play this out in the press and in very tabloidy press. So yeah, should Andy probably stop privately corresponding with fellow talent at the network like this? Yes. But that also reminds you that This isn't like a classic corporate office workplace environment. It's not. It's an unusual work setup where boundaries are inherently blurred between off-camera and on-camera, talent and production, friend and coworker, boss and employee. Like that, and that's something that I discussed extensively with Leah Littman, who is a law professor and the co-host of the Supreme Court podcast Strict Scrutiny, on an episode of Gabbing with Gib from way earlier this year, where we discussed a lot of these emerging lawsuits against Bravo. So like that's a very valid thing to flag because it creates a lot more gray area and not a lot of like hard-lined black and white, you know, boss employee divisions like there would be in a sort of more common workplace environment. And, you know, I think it's also worth mentioning that Brandy's claims emerged as Caroline Manzo, who is a co-star of hers on that season of Ultimate Girls Trip in Morocco, accused her of sexual misconduct on set of that season. So there's a lot of accusations flying on both sides. There's a lot of interesting timing here. And it's just, I don't know. Those are my general thoughts on this. I don't suspect that this will change anything for Andy in a big way, even if Brandy does indeed go ahead with filing a lawsuit against him. The network is pretty thoroughly behind him. And it feels as though if Brandy had more damning material against Andy than what we've seen, we would have seen it by now or heard about it by now. She went public with this stuff for a reason, to try to do, I don't know what, strong arm, scare him, I don't know. But Page Six reports that during that investigation that Bravo had a third party do amid these allegations, Andy's phone and email were went through extensively and they didn't find anything more damning than this. So take that as you will. Anyway, switching gears to a much more lighthearted and fun topic, you're about to hear my chat with Gina Kirschenheiter from The Real Housewives of Orange County. Gina's going on her sixth season as a housewife, which is crazy. And I really think that she's leveled up this year. I really do. I know that there's a lot of people who still love to shit on Gina, that they think that she's being too harsh this season to Jen. But I think that she's had a really fantastic season overall. Like, you know, she has a really compelling personal storyline in this sad situation with Travis. By the way, they seem okay now. They just celebrated their 5-year anniversary on Instagram. So I think that they've worked it out. You know, she brought in Katie, who came after Heather, which then complicated her own friendships with both Katie and Heather. She and Emily are about to have kind of a moment on this show where, you know, she thinks that Emily's becoming more of a mean girl amid her friendship with Tamra. She's supporting Shannon, who, again, reminder, used to dunk on Gina all the time about her DUI and how she helped her amid that time. You know, Gina has a burgeoning real estate career and she has clashed with Jen a lot this season after helping her rent a house and then Jen couldn't get the rent. And you know, we don't have to rehash all of that, but she was definitely harsh in that situation, but she apologized to Jen after she heard more about what she had going on. Again, she has a lot going for her this season, and I just think that she's been really great to watch, and I think that she's a really solid housewife, and she's really, you know, cemented herself as part of the show in a way that can't be denied, I think. And anyway, so I don't always say yes to brand and interview opportunities like this, so like when somebody's promoting a product or a brand, but I've actually never interviewed Gina and I not had her on the show this season, obviously. So I was excited about the prospect of chatting with her about this season, which I've been loving. So I could not say no to this. We do spend the first couple minutes of the chat talking about her Clorox partnership. We also talked about filming that commercial with Dr. Nicole. So it wasn't all super branded or whatever. But then we spend the next 15 minutes talking about the show. We talk about that recent TikTok she made about her viral confessional look. We talked about this season overall, what feels different this year for her, why she chose to support Shannon and not hit her when she's down like some other people are doing, her reaction to how Tamra has been treating Shannon this season, why she feels duped by Katie, what we're going to see in her drama with Emily, and more. So keep listening for my chat with Gina Kirschenheiter from The Real Housewives of Orange County. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll be back next week with a bonus episode about this season of Love is Blind UK, which I've been addicted to and just wrapped up this week, and an interview with Caroline Stanberry from The Real Housewives of Dubai and more. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Gina Kirschenheiter of The Real Housewives of Orange County, which is currently having a banner season, honestly, for this show. And I think, Gina, you're a big part of that. I'm so excited to chat with you today. We're here in honor of your work with Clorox, who just released a great commercial starring you and Dr. Nicole together. It's an exciting time to be Gina. How are you?
Thank you for saying that, Gibson. It is an exciting time to be me. I'm actually doing really well. Obviously, this partnership with Clorox has been so incredible. And I couldn't be more thankful for a more natural partnership with like products that I actually use for my whole life, you know? So that was really cool. And I have to say, Dr. Nicole is awesome. Like, really rad chick. I don't actually watch Miami, but now I'm like, I might. And I, you know, I knew nothing about her, but I was so taken aback by how I would be real friends with you. She was really cool.
I love that. Are there any fun little stories from on set? Because that must have been a fun day to shoot together.
It is a really fun day to shoot together. I think there wasn't any moment that was weird or odd. I think I was just personally very surprised by how go with the flow she was. Like, she didn't come in with glam squad. Wow. You know, I'll give you a little bit of tea. You know, you never know what to expect. And I've seen it all, honestly. And I love all the women for all of the ways
that
they are.
Of course,
you know, I really do.
The whole spectrum, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, but even just, you know, I was very surprised, and she was just so easygoing. And then I think it was cool because it's always interesting to see, you know, and she's a doctor, and she's like a legit doctor. She's like an anesthesiologist. Like, that's no joke. Depends. So then I didn't know, but she was just so normal and cool. So it was fun to hang out with her for the day.
And, you know, Clorox and Bravo have had a pretty good, you know, a pretty great relationship for a while now. I remember last year at BravoCon, Clorox was all over the bathrooms with, like, you know, bedazzled housewife sayings and things like that.
Yes.
Like, it must be kind of cool to be kind of included in a bigger way as via this.
Yes, it is.
There we go.
Very cool to be included. I have 2 bedazzled Clorox containers, and they're like trophies for me. I feel very special. But yeah, no, it is really cool. And I am a mom. You know, at the end of the day, I understand I'm part of this crazy housewife world, and I accept that with honor. But I really am just such a normal person, and I really am just a mom. And so my day-to-day life is, it looks like the Bravo bathroom. It's just like Clorox products everywhere. And if I'm not cleaning, I'm driving or solving problems or fixing boo-boos. I couldn't think of something that would be a more natural fit. So it's been really cool to be a part of it.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So
yeah,
I mentioned at the top of this, Gina, that it's been a banner year for the show. And, you know, you've had a lot of personal storyline happening. You've had a lot of interpersonal drama happening on the show. First, like, how does this season feel different for you in particular from past seasons? You've been on the show for quite some time now, but I feel like this year, something about your presence on the show feels different in a very positive way.
Well, thank you for saying that. I think I'm just in it a lot. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm almost like, I'm like, it's too much. Like, I feel vulnerable out there, you know? But yeah, I guess it's like, I've never been the person who needed to be like a center orange or like the core, or I've always just been happy to hang out and be what it is. And I feel like through the years, I just naturally had a natural evolution and progression towards becoming one of the more core people, you know? And I feel like at this point, the good thing is a lot of us really feel like core because we really are friends, you know? And whether you see me and Heather Dubrow being friends in real life or not, we've known each other for years. So we are, you know what I mean? We're bonded by all of this that's happening around us, and we truly have friendships. And I think that is what the biggest thing that is resonating with people is that it's like the reality is back in reality here. And I think people are kind of wanting that. I don't even know if people were aware of how much they were wanting it. And then seeing what's happening with some of the other franchises too, it's almost like it got to the point where you can only go so much with the toxicity and the clearly these women aren't friends before the balloon pops. And we're at a really, really good place right now with all of our relationships, whether they're actually good with each other or bad, they're real. So I think that's
totally.
And it's not so, everything I'm in is just real and not toxic to the nth degree, you know?
Yeah, so, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gina, I'm curious because, first of all, I want to say the TikTok you put out the other day, I think it's genius because I've been watching and studying these shows for so long. And one of the things I think is so essential to be a successful housewife is to be in on the joke and be self-deprecating and be able to kind of take some of that, because that's just kind of part of the territory. So I think it's great that you jumped in and just did that and kind of made fun of yourself a little bit.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, like, I'm a mom, I'm so busy. Do I want to serve looks all day, every day? Absolutely. But like, you know what? I had wore that dress to a party. I loved it. I was like, I look great. Even before I went in that interview chair, I was like, ooh, I'm from Long Island. I was like, my hair has so much volume and I am here for it. Like,
the higher the hair, closer to God.
Wrong with it. Yeah. I was like, I've already been down a bad road before. This is great. And I think that sometimes the things just don't translate well. And at the end of the day, I don't, you know, you got to laugh. You got to embrace it. I saw what everybody else, I knew I was going to get torn up too, because we get the episode early. And as soon as it went, I was like, wait a minute. And then I was like telling Travis, I was like, no, I was like, babe,
it's going to happen.
Born up, like, I knew. So, and then it happened. But I love the fans, and you have to embrace
it. Course.
And I would rather get on board, like, and be a part of it, because that feels good and feels right to me.
Yeah,
I would love to do more of that. I just, I'm not a natural person that's like social media all day, you know. Like, so I'm trying to just do
nailed
it more.
You nailed it. Yeah,
thank you.
And speaking of fan reaction, Gina, you know, Tamra is getting a lot of heat for how she's handled everything with Shannon this season, I think. And it's, you know, it's, I guess it's up to interpretation if you think she's overstepped or not, but a lot of people seem to think that way. And you have taken the complete opposite approach to that. You've been really supportive of her, which I think is really big of you, considering how much she held what your past over you. And I'm just curious, like, looking at how fans have reacted to how Tamra is treating Shannon this year, and knowing how you have treated Shannon this year, you must feel pretty good about how you handled that situation and how you're handling that situation this season.
I do feel good about that. But at the end of the day, I don't think that there was any other way that I would have handled it. Like, I am who I am. I have been through, you know, a lot of actually the similar things that Shannon has been through, not just with regards to, you know, her addressing her drinking or whatever, but, you know, in our past, like, we've had similar journeys and we've been walloped by similar things. And I am sympathetic to her. I think that it would be, in my mind, to ask a woman for years and years to please have enough decency and respect for me to stop weaponizing this help that you gave me and hurt me with this, and to be asking for that, and then to finally receive that. And then if I was not to embrace that, to me, would be awful, you know? And if I was to hit her over the head with it, would also be insanely hypocritical. And I'm just not that person. I'm not going to ask you for something that I wouldn't do myself. That's just not how I operate. And if I'm asking you to be kind and, you know, grant me grace, I'm going to do the same thing for you. And as soon as Shannon apologized, I knew she got it. And that's all I needed. You know, I care about Shannon, you know, and she was going through it. Like, I equate a lot of the problems between her and I to what she was going through, a lot of it, you know, during those years. And now she's seeing things from a different perspective, and she's working on herself, and it's not flawless and it's not perfect, but she's trying, you know. And I'm about trying. I don't know when we got to a place where it's not cool or acceptable to try.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you make of the reaction to how Tamra is handling the situation?
It's hard to watch. I understand from Tamra's perspective, because I had conversations with Tamra even prior to going into filming. Like, she was very hurt. She feels like she's been carrying the bag for a long time with regards to, like, handling Shannon and, you know, her emotions and her drinking and all of that. And I get that, but I keep telling her, like, you absolutely have the right to say, listen, I've been impacted by this, and if you're not going to stop drinking completely, I cannot do this anymore. Perfectly valid. But if you're making a choice to then remove yourself from this person and their problems and their situation, you have to remove yourself. And that's where I think she's struggling, because she wants to just be like, draw this line in the sand. But then I think her emotions come up, and she's holding on to clearly a lot of anger, you know, and it would come out, and it wasn't It wasn't okay.
Mm-hmm. So Gina, obviously we're here because of your partnership with Clorox, and you know, it's about cleaning up messes and all these things. And in honor of that, I wanted to ask you what you think your messiest moment on Housewives has been over the years, where you were the most messy.
It's my track hanging out the back of my head. That is, will forever be my mess, my personal mess of honor that I wear that badge. I like it for sure. Yes, I think that was probably my messiest moment.
I was thinking more like in terms of like drama, but you know what? That...
I mean, I don't know. Looking back, I've gotten myself into some sticky situations. Obviously, like having to go to Heather when that woman was in her home and she had sued her.
Yeah, that was tough.
There isn't a Clorox wipe big enough in the world to clean up that. That was wild.
That was an all season cleanup situation.
That was an all season. I mean, I was burning through those Clorox wipes that season.
So thinking about this season, we're still pretty much in the middle of it. I mean, I feel like there's still so much to come in terms of it being mixed up, probably, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But again, you and Shannon have become friends or friendly again, and you kind of buried the hatchet. You and Katie's friendship is being complicated by the thing with Heather and vice versa, I would say.
Yeah.
You and Travis are going through it, but it seems like now you are in a good place celebrating your five-year anniversary. When it comes to thinking ahead, I know it's, again, we have probably 10 more episodes of the season, but if you think ahead to the reunion, what's top of mind for you in terms of a mess to clean up or something to address?
I think the most of it would be, I don't understand Katie, and I don't understand what her motives were. And I'm hurt by her choice to come on here and just, instead of approaching it like we are real people and real friendships, when I watch it, I'm like, oh, I got played, and you approached this like it was a game. And you played me and you used me. And that's how I feel now watching it. And it is really upsetting to me, because I also don't do that. I don't talk to people prior. I don't make, you know, I don't get involved in the stuff, even the stuff I'm being accused of, I'm not even doing, you know, and she's even admitting that. But then she just continues on with this false narrative. And it's like, if she thinks she could just say it enough, it'll become true. And then it escalates, and that you'll see it spiral out even more. Mm. And I was going through such a difficult personal time. And I was also then having to constantly defend myself for things that were just coming and made up out of thin air. And that's incredibly, incredibly hurtful to me.
Right, right.
And also hasn't been any apology for it. So, okay.
So maybe we're waiting for the reunion for that. But so in terms of that situation, Gina, you stand by how you handled it in terms of what you knew when and what you apologized to Heather about. Like you really stand firm in that part of it.
100%. I mean, look, I'm the human being. When she texts me, you know, when I'm doing 300 things and she texts me, oh, I talked to, I don't even know, you know, I'm like, I didn't even look at the thing. I'm not like Emily, you know, who's like, oh, let me make sure this is, I don't freaking know. She sent it to me. I was like, yeah, she's hysterical, you know? And then I was like, very quickly, like, don't do that. It is not in your best interest. And honestly, I was doing it for Katie.
You were. I remember. Yeah, I felt that way as well.
My perspective was, if you bring this up, you're never going to get anywhere with Heather, you know? So, and then she agreed and she said she was never going to bring it up. And so I forgot about it. And I never told Heather because I thought I handled it, you know? And I apologized to Heather. In hindsight, I guess I should have told you. But if I would have told her, she still would have hated the girl. So it's like, you know, at least give her a fair shot. So the fact that this is all now, people make the choices that they make, and then they want to put it on someone else because they get scared about the choices that they've made. And I will not tolerate that.
Right. And I think that moment when you two were trying on the dresses to go to the golf event, and you said, either you address it or I'm going to address it for you, because I think you obviously saw where it was going, and it wasn't a good place. No.
If I wanted to set Katie up, I could have went and told Heather.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't. I didn't. And I told Katie, tell her or I will, because I was being a good friend, you know, to both of them. So how it all got put on me, I don't really get it. And I can't say that I'm not hurt by it.
Right. Last thing I want to ask you about, Gina, is, you know, we're seeing this thing start to emerge on the show a little bit of you and Emily, and you saying that maybe she's changing a little bit and becoming a little bit of a mean girl because of hanging out with Tamara a lot. Where are we going to see that go and kind of affect and complicate your friendship? Because you two have been so close for so long, but that's an interesting wrinkle.
Yeah, it is an interesting wrinkle, but I don't think that, but you know what the bottom line is? Emily and I are really, really, really best friends. She is like a sister to me. So, and guess what? Sisters fight and best friends fight. And so I think it is actually will be very interesting for the fans and the viewers to watch, because what you're going to see is real friends who have real feelings and need to get them out, you know? And Emily and I are so secure in our friendship that we are okay to have vulnerable moments and not, you know, stellar moment. And we're okay to showcase that part of our friendship because we love each other, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say that you don't see us get into it, because you will. But at the end of the day, Emily and I,
you're so
like
solid.
Family.
Yeah. You're so solid. Yeah. It's like, yeah. It makes total sense. Well, Gina,
to watch, actually.
Well, Gina, this has been so fun to get some time with you, and very exciting for you to be part of this. And is there anything else you'd like to plug right before we sign off?
No, you know what? I am. Thank you for that, Kristen. But I'm just happy that we're having, I want to just plug my castmates and my producers, because I think that this has been an incredible season, and everybody was like so hardworking and amazing, production and crew and my castmates. And I would like to just shout everybody out, because we worked hard and it's paying off.
I completely agree. Firing on all cylinders, and it's been fun to watch. It really has. So thank you again, Gina, and hopefully we get to talk again soon.
Thanks, Gibson.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.